Well, good morning, Northwood Church. Oh, this is the second service. We're supposed to be hyped by now, right? Good morning, Northwood Church. It's an honor to be here. As Pastor Bob said, my name is Angela Brown, and I believe God has a special assignment in mind. He imported me all the way from South Jersey to travel deep in the heart of Texas to be with you in a Baptist church? I don't know. I'm not sure about that. But I think that on the eve of the day that we honor Dr. Martin Luther King and the great work that he did, that it speaks to the testament of the power of God, that God would import a black woman from New Jersey to Keller, Texas, to preach and declare women unsilenced. I think that God is at work. I think he loves setting stages. I love that he does extraordinary things through ordinary people. And I believe in God that he does that through me today. But I pray that you don't see me. I pray that you see God and that you hear from him. So will you join me in prayer this morning as we get into the word of God? Father, we just thank you and we praise you for the privilege of calling you Father, calling you Lord, calling you Savior, calling you Deliverer. I thank you that you yourself demonstrate that you don't need titles, that you yourself will disrobe, strip all of your glory in heaven, come down, dwell amongst us, get in the dirt, go in the grave, even go to hell to win us back. And so I pray, Lord God, that we see, believe, and follow your example, not living by position or title, power or privilege, but just cloaking ourselves in who you are and being driven by your ministry, your passion, your dream, and that's to win all people back to you through your great love. In Jesus' name I pray and thank you for you speaking through me with power, with boldness, with signs and wonders following. Perform your word, confirm your word, and above all, empower all of your people, sons and daughters, to live out the truth of your gospel. In Jesus' name I pray. Everybody in agreement, say amen. 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 Well, I'm here on assignment by Pastor Bob, who I thank. I want to take time to really thank Pastor Bob and Nikki for their ministry, their leadership. They absolutely are people who pastor us, though I do pastor alongside my husband. I'm really grateful because we genuinely believe they are people that hear from God, and we know that they were answers to prayer for us. And so can we thank them? I feel like I have a little more time, a little bit. So I appreciate you, and I appreciate their courage. I appreciate Pastor Bob's investment in my family, but also his investment in this church by pouring in the truth of the whole gospel. If we believe in the message of the gospel, in the message of Jesus, in the ministry of Jesus, we must believe that God will use anybody. I stand before you as a direct descendant of my great-great-great-grandmother by the name of Charity Still, whom I'm told, with just a Bible in her hand, escaped slavery in Maryland, traveling to New Jersey, where I live today, right in South Jersey, where I live, to give birth to children born in freedom. But those children, my great-great-grandfather, Dr. James Still, who's known as the Great Doctor of the Pines, is the brother of William Still, known as the father of the Underground Railroad. And he, along with a woman by the name of Harriet Tubman, historically led countless numbers of people out of liberty, out of bondage and into liberty. But that was simply by the power of the Word of God and the investment of a woman in that word, all that she had, grabbed that Bible and escaped bondage. I'm so grateful that Pastor Bob realizes that even a woman can grab the word of God and not only escape and get free herself, she can get to a place where she gives birth to opportunities for God to move so countless other people can also be delivered out of bondage. And that is why God is interested in empowering women. So today I'm going to talk with you about the woman that Jesus empowers, but I'm also going to talk with you about the impediments, the things that stand in the way of woman walking fully in her power. And then I'm going to talk with you about the impact of a woman when she is liberated and equipped to walk fully in her purpose, her power, and her position, not just as a woman, but a daughter, a bride of the Most High God. So will you turn with me to the book of John, chapter 8? This is going to be our foundational passage, but if you were here the first service, and if you've seen anything that I've preached online, I read a lot of scripture, reference a lot of words. So we're going to journey through the Word of God and reference a lot of scriptures, but this is going to be our foundational passage, John chapter 8, and we're going to read verses 1 through 11. I love this account. I love that it begins with Jesus himself returning from the mountaintop. We read so many times about Moses spending time at the mountaintop in the Old Testament, right? One of my favorite people to read about how sensitive he came down from the mountaintop to the voice of his Father, receiving instructions. I pray, God, help me to be able to hear and discern the voice of God and your instructions to the detail the way that Moses did. We hear and we read about the historical accounts of Dr. King, who renowned for his dream message references, I've been to the mountaintop. I might not get there with you. So the mountaintop to me epitomizes time spent in the presence of our Father, getting equipped and then coming down on fire with clarity, knowing what it is that God said, what he desires to do and available. And so here we are in this account. Jesus is coming down from the Mountain of Olives, where I've journeyed with Pastor Bob and Nikki. And it says in verse 2, and early in the morning, he came again into the temple, and all the people came unto him, and he sat down. And he taught him. I think that he was comfortable, he was clear about his assignment, and he was prepared for what was about to happen, full of his power and his position and his authority and knowing what his purpose was. Because shortly thereafter, the scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. Don't you wonder where the guy was? I know when I read that passage, I'm like, wait a minute. If she was in the very act, wasn't she with somebody? Why did they just grip up the woman? Still happening today, right? They took a woman caught in the very act of adultery, and they set her in the midst. Could you imagine? Could you imagine the shame and the guilt and the condemnation if those doors were to fling open right now? And the leaders of this church or the leaders of society suddenly come thrusting a woman who they say was just caught in the midst of the most vulnerable, right, intimate, transparent, clothes off, I'm exposed, I'm uncovered. They snatch her out of that state and present her in that state in front of all of us. I got any Game of Thrones watchers? Anybody honest enough to tell the truth? To me, that reminds me of that moment of shame, shame, shame. All right, y'all are pretending y'all don't watch Game of Thrones. But to me, that's what that is like. Could you imagine the shame, the condemnation, the guilt, the wanting to cover up and hide after being exposed like that? Then they said, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what do you say? What do you say, Jesus? This they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus, I love this, he stooped down, calm, aware of what was happening, but full of his purpose, knowing what he was called to do, and full of power, just stooped down with his finger, wrote on the ground as though he didn't even hear them. And so when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, he that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And again he stooped down and he wrote on the ground. That time I believe he was praying. I believe he was interceding. I believe he was hoping that they would be sensitive to God and ready for a move of God. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone. And the woman standing in the midst, when Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, "Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee?" And she said, "No man, Lord, no man, Lord." And Jesus said unto her, "Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more." I believe that's God's message to us today, not just to women, but to his bride, the church. Go and sin no more. When I listened to the dream of Dr. King, when I most recently listened to his speech, The Three Evils of Society, I marvel at the fact that he delivered that speech decades ago. The Three Evils was delivered in August of 1967, but when you listen to the speech, The Three Evils of Society, in him tease out racism, sexism, poverty, war, it sounds as if he is delivering that speech today. So much is propelled, so much is perpetuated because of division fueled by us competing against one another, fighting over position, fighting over title, fighting over power, fighting over privilege. But Jesus stripped himself of all of his power, all of his privilege, laid it down to become the ultimate sacrifice so that anyone, whosoever, the Bible declares, would believe in him would be saved. He gave it all up so that we could be empowered to walk in freedom, but not to go as we would do whatever we want, but to go and sin no more, entrusting us with the very ministry of Jesus, his gospel message, and equipping us with the Spirit of God so that we would do the same in the lives of others. That is the woman that God empowers. And so I'm going to break down the three women that God empowers, talking to us with the female title as woman. But I'm also going to talk to us as the bride, the woman that God is saying, "You are no longer condemned. Your shame, your condemnation, your guilt rolled away. Now go, sin no more. Don't perpetuate the madness, the division that exists in this world. Don't fall victim to the judgments and the definitions society imposes on men and women and who they should be and who God can love and who he can't love, who God can use and who he can't. You just go in the power of my name and sin no more." So the first woman that I want to speak about that Jesus empowers is the woman he made. The woman he made. In the book of Genesis, when we open up our Bibles, don't we read that in Genesis chapter 1, and I believe Pastor Bob preached this in the opening message, that God blessed them, male and female, man and woman, both made after his image and after his likeness. But it gets really good to me in Genesis chapter 2, because the Bible is really detailed and explicit about the process that God went through to make woman. It was after he made everything else, right? All of creation, all of the animals, right? And even man stepped back and said, "It's good. But there's something missing." It's not good that man be all in one, not having an aid of the same kind as everything else on the planet did in order to be most fruitful and populate, right? All of the animals had aids to come alongside them. The fruits, everything had something to germinate, to come alongside, to be fruitful and multiply. But it wasn't true for man. God said, "This is not good. It's not good for man to be all in one." So we know the story, right? God caused what? A deep sleep to fall upon man. To me, that is God put man at rest. "You can't do this. Go to sleep." but also out of man, he took a rib to make woman. And I love that passage. God, in the King James Version, says, made he a woman. And the rib that God used to make woman, did he ever put it back in man? No. That rib that he took out of man to fashion woman was what God uniquely used to equip woman for a purpose exclusively for woman. Not to compete with man, but to complement man, calling her a helpmeet, an aid of the same kind. And so first, the woman that Jesus empowers is the woman that he made. He has purposes, plans, intentions reserved for woman. God, yes, sees and values and respects women as they have come before us and shared. But the reason why he sees, he values, he respects us is because he, as our maker and our creator, purposed us, placed us here intentionally for purposes to fulfill in the plan of God for him. And so the first woman that Jesus empowers is the woman he made, uniquely equipped, submitted to him, and designed as an aid of the same kind. But what we have to guard ourselves against, and this is what gets us in trouble, women, is doing what Eve did, which is still being used to justify why we should not be fully empowered in walking in our position as God has called us. And that is when we get out of position and we take outside of understanding what God said and what he's told us to do, and we fall victim to the lies and accusations of the enemy, causing us to question what God really said, and then we take matters into our own hands to try and protect ourselves or position ourselves. That's what got Eve, as the mother of all living, in trouble. But we can't allow that to justify whether or not we allow women to be productive and fruitful today. Because God declared over man and woman, male and female, Adam and Eve, we were made in his image after his likeness. He called us, commanded us to be fruitful, to multiply, to replenish the earth. And so we are empowered women. Do you believe me this morning? Where is the women? We are empowered. The second woman that God empowers is the woman in harmony with other women. Like I mentioned, I prayed for Nikki Roberts. I prayed. I genuinely believe there's supposed to be women that speak into our lives. I believe that there's women that we should have in peer level relationships with, where we can just kick it, take off our shoes and relax, but also people that we pour into. When I examined my life, I had the people I poured into, peers, was missing some of the people that I needed to speak into my life. And so I prayed for Nikki Roberts, and God poured it her into my life. But how often do we as women run from relationships with other women, competing against one another, living up to the stereotype that women can't be trusted? We're gossipers, we're catty, we take from one another, we accuse one another, and the enemy preys off of that stereotype and works to keep us divided. But there is a woman that God empowers who works in harmony with other women. If we look at the account of Mary and Elizabeth in the book of Luke, chapters 1 and chapter 2, we can see two women working harmoniously together, contingent. Their ministries, their callings were contingent upon one another. Elizabeth had to get pregnant with John the Baptist and prepare the way for John the Baptist in order for Jesus, right, to come through the womb of Mary, so much so that when they encountered one another, when the babies were just in the womb, Elizabeth was able to be so in tune with the Spirit of God, knowing that her child, John the Baptist, that she was carrying, leapt in the womb because he came in contact with the womb of another woman that was carrying another move of God. Jesus empowers women who don't compete with one another, but they work alongside one another just as we were designed to work in complement with man. So there is a woman that Jesus empowers who works in harmony with other women, and then Jesus also empowers his bride, the church. Doesn't Ephesians chapter 5 refer to us as his bride? He is our maker. He talks about in the book of Isaiah chapter 44 that he's 54 that he's married to his bride. We are his bride. And so God is beckoning us as men and women, his church, his body, his bride, to be used as instruments of reconciliation within our body so that we can mobilize as ministers of reconciliation, working in the restoration plan of God to bring back people to him. Amen? Does that sound like a good plan? Sounds like a good plan to me. It's a dream that Jesus himself has, not just for his body, but for his world. And so those are the women that Jesus empowers, the woman that he made. I like to say that Jesus was the original feminist. If he made woman, he created, he of course endorses, supports, values women. The women working in harmony with other women and her bride. And so what are the impediments that exist that prevent us from fully walking in our power? First, I want to talk to you as we tease out John chapter 8, the fall. The fall. If I hear another person use the fall as an excuse to justify why women can't produce, why women are barren, why women are banished. As an African-American woman, at one point in time, my skin color was used to justify slavery. How evil. But at one point in time, my skin color, coupled with people actually going as far as using the word of God to justify a curse that was on me simply because of my skin color, my lineage. How could we now allow that same excuse to come in and defile and limit a woman, God's daughter, that he made? Justifying a sin to keep woman locked in a barren position. But what we just read in John chapter 8, Jesus, eye to eye, went everybody else was gone, when everyone else was gone, the encounter that he had with the woman that everybody else accused, everybody else said was deserving of being stoned, banished to punishment and death, he looked that woman in the eye and said, I do not condemn you. Go, be free. Sin no more. God does not hold us locked in judgment anymore, women. We are free. God has liberated us. If we believe in the very message of the gospel and the ministry of Jesus, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever believeth in him, he became cursed for us. So that we could be free. How could we say that we believe in the message and ministry of Jesus and still justify women being banished to a lesser position or a barren position? That's to make the word of God of none effect. No, Jesus came to liberate us. But yes, we use the fall, and it is an impediment that the accuser thrives off of in order to prevent women from walking in their power. The reality is, since the fall of mankind, women have been blamed for everything that has happened. But when we read the book of Genesis, God created woman as a solution to a problem that man was all in one. We're not problems. We are the solutions to problems. So stop blaming us for all of the problems. God has called us to play a vital role in the plan and restoration of mankind to God himself. Another impediment are men. I love men. I'm married to one. I have a son. I'm grateful for people who've invested in my life, like a Pastor Bob and other male leaders who have poured into me, invested in me. But I have the testimony of speaking, preaching powerfully, boldly, just wanting people to come to Christ in May of 2016 and watching a man get up and walk out, only to find out that he got up and he walked out because a woman was preaching, and he didn't believe that a woman had any business being in a platform. That man subsequently left the church, and it broke my heart to know that I, as a woman, could have caused harm to God's body. But that is the devil himself trying to convince me that there's something wrong with me, how I see myself. There's something wrong with men who can't see me as a daughter of the Most High God, made in his image and after his likeness. If God himself can choose to speak through a donkey, how can he not speak through a woman? If God himself made and fashioned woman, something unique that he took out of man and put specifically in woman and never put it back in man, how can we not say that there is not something unique that God has reserved for woman, and absent of it, we're not complete. The body of Christ is not complete. And so just like I don't compete to be my husband, what I do is I celebrate him, I support him, I encourage him and come alongside him to compliment. Men and women, we're called to do the same whether we are married or not to one another. We are called as men and women to compliment one another so that the plan of God can be accomplished and the body of Christ can be complete, entire, wanting nothing, full of power, walking in its purpose. God's not interested in position. He's interested in purpose. He could care less. Doesn't he declare, I think Pastor Bob referenced the scripture in Galatians, there's no male or female in Christ, no Jew nor Greek, right? I'm taking down all of those walls. Everything that would divide me and you, I'm tearing down those walls. I don't want anything to separate us and stand in the way. I want you back, and I want you to go and be fruitful and multiply. So now I'm tearing down all those other walls so that you can be free to go wherever it is and love on whomever I love, and God loves everybody. And so men, yes, Jesus values the ministry of women and wants us to play active role in ministry, in business, in our communities, in society. There's so much that God desires for women, and so let's not be guilty of the men that we read about in John chapter 8 that catch women up and judge them and accuse them and try and banish them to a lesser position than their society. Society imposing an impediment. When I look in the account of Luke chapter 1, and I encourage you to read that, it's one of my favorite accounts about how God sees and values women. Like he caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam. In Luke chapter 1, it talks about Zechariah, who was serving in the temple. And an angel, Gabriel, appeared before him with a message from God. He said, I've been in the very presence of God. And Zechariah, in that account, the Bible says, was so shook, he trembled at what God was saying he was getting ready to do through him. And that was to give birth to John the Baptist through the womb of Elizabeth. He didn't believe that that could be so. And so Gabriel said, because of your lack of faith, you will not be able to speak. God loves to set a stage, and he loves to do the extraordinary through ordinary people. And so what happens as a result of Zechariah not being able to speak? God uses it as an opportunity to demonstrate that he could speak through and use a woman to usher in John the Baptist. When you read the account, you see that Zechariah was of a line of priests, but so was Elizabeth. She was from the lineage of Aaron. But society's impediments imposed upon her wouldn't allow her to function in the priesthood, but God came to restore and demonstrate. And so when God did exactly what he said he was going to do through Gabriel, and she became pregnant with John the Baptist, gave birth to John the Baptist, and 8 days in at the circumcision, the Bible says that all of the community was gathered to look around to see what she was going to name him. They asked her, what is the name going to be? And she said, John. And society said, how dare you do that? There are no men in your family named John. And I love her response back. She said, no, his name is going to be John the Baptist. But they still didn't believe her simply because she was a woman. And so the Bible says that they gestured to Zechariah, Elizabeth's husband, to say what the name is going to be. And he wrote down, the Bible says, on a piece of paper, what she said. John is his name. Why did God do that? Shut up his mouth so that they would be able to see, hear, and know that I speak through and move through women. But what's so powerful to me is it wasn't until a man had her back and said, yes, what she said, that not even was Elizabeth able to speak. Zechariah, he was restored and he was able to speak, demonstrating that God was interested in using both of us, complementing one another to give birth to the plans that God himself is believing for. And so not competing against one another is not just unique to women. God doesn't want us competing with men or men competing with women. We all have a unique role to play, but we could be so much more impactful when we work together in harmony with one another in order to fulfill the plan of God. And the last thing I want to talk about as impediments are the church. The church. I can't believe that there's still debate over the role of women in ministry. Society's debating about the role of women. Why in the world are we debating in the church when we have the word of God that makes it plain and clear for us? But we still have examples of 1 Samuel chapter 1 where the priest is marking the mouths of women just like he did Hannah, who was just bitterly weeping and crying out to the Lord, deliver me from my barrenness. Use me, Lord. But the Bible says in 1 Samuel chapter 1, verses 12 and 13, that the priest himself, the pastor of the church, marked the mouth of the woman and said that she was simply drunk. To me, that reminds me of the account in Acts when God himself was believing for an opportunity for everybody to gather and said, wait here for the Holy Spirit to be poured out. I'm getting ready to empower you. Wait. And when the Holy Spirit poured out for all to see, the Bible says in the book of Acts, everybody heard in their own language the gospel being preached. It was an opportunity for God to move through everybody. And what did they do? They accused them of drunkenness. Why? Because the last impediment is the accuser himself. Let's go back to John chapter 8. We caught up in all of the fighting, like Adam and Eve in the garden that took and ate. And then Adam said, well, it was the woman you gave me. We start blame shifting and we lose sight of the reality that we have one enemy. One enemy. His name is the devil, Satan, the accuser, the liar, the thief, who is at war with the kingdom of light. Verse 6 says, this they said, tempting him, talking about Jesus, that they might have to accuse him. But this is the response that we have to take like Jesus. He knew that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. He realized this fight was not against anyone other than the devil and him. The devil and him. Do you remember why you are here and who you are really called to fight? All of the accusations that the enemy makes against men and women and have us accusing one another and divided against one another, accusing one another of not being deserving of God's love or not being in position to be used by God. Meanwhile, the enemy is preying off of that, but God has gone down in the dirt for us. He ascended to the grave and to the very depths of hell to demonstrate to us that the accuser has no more power. I no longer condemn you. Go and sin no more. We are his bride, men, women. God desires to use us to lead people back to him. And if we embrace that position, God has special opportunities to move. He's ready to pour out his spirit. He's ready for some this is that moments for him to pour out his spirit so that he can be glorified. And so I'm going to close with the impact right here of a woman empowered. The impact that I'm expecting to see through us as we fully walk in our purpose, power, and position as women. First, the woman that God empowers, like Elizabeth, delivered from barrenness, prepares the way of the Lord. Prepares the way of the Lord. Elizabeth giving birth to John the Baptist is to prepare the way of the Lord. There's opportunities God is looking for to move through us if we would simply receive his power of his spirit and his word and go free from condemnation. A woman that God empowers through her submissiveness, like the mother of Jesus, who gave birth to the Savior, the deliverer of the world. Still, she recognized that I'm a handmaiden of the Lord. I'm a servant. I yield all that I am and all that I have in order for God to produce through me what it is. Could you imagine the impact? Like Mary demonstrated, miracles. Miracles will be the result. We give birth to miracles through our submissiveness, like Mary, the woman that God empowers, like Mary Magdalene, yes, can preach the gospel, can preach the very resurrection. The first gospel message was preached through a woman, because this is the impact of a woman empowered by God, boldly declaring the gospel so mankind can be saved. And then lastly, the woman that God empowers is you. So you, men, women, the bride of the church, if you would stand, we're going to prepare to close here. Because God wants to empower all of us today so that we can have the impact and the influence that he desires for all of us to have. The Bible says that the whole reason why Jesus came was to destroy the works of the accuser, to destroy the works of the devil, to win his family back. And so God's desire remains the same for us to be containers of his word, his spirit, and go empowered in order to reach those that God loves. So if we will all just link up, hold hands, grip up with somebody next to you, symbolic of us being one body, men and women, fitly joined together as the bride of church, desiring to be empowered by God, the Spirit and the Word of God, to liberate some captives, some people that are bound, in the same manner that my great-great-great-grandmother, Charity Still, William Still, Harriet Tubman, and yes, you and I, God desires to even do through us today. So, Father, we just thank you and we praise you, Lord, for speaking to and through us this morning in order to reach us in places that perhaps are still being judged by the accuser, that make us question whether or not, because we are men, because we are women, because we were caught in the act, because we feel ashamed, that we can't be used by you. God, I pray that you would just remove all of those barriers in our hearts, in our lives, that would seek to separate us from your love. And in the presence of God right now, that we would feel, experience your love, and have faith stirred in that perfect love to boldly walk in who we are and go and sin no more. God, I pray that even if we are the ones with the stones in our hand that have been doing the judging, I pray that we would throw our stones down and that we would realize that our lives are not our own. And yet, but by the grace of God, go we. I pray, Lord God, that you would unite us by your Spirit and in faith to do the greater works that you, Jesus, declared we would do. As we don't look to one another to blame, to judge, to stone, to hold back, but we work together for all to not just be liberated within the church, but without, taking the gospel message, going wherever you would have us to go to reach those that you would love. I pray, God, for fresh grace and the outpouring of your Spirit to equip your body, to be unsilenced, to be free, to be liberated, to walk in the fullness of their purpose, their power, in their position as your sons and your daughters in the earth. In Jesus' name I pray. Everybody in agreement, say amen.